The joy of the Lord makes everything fresher and better and newer. Jesus had his eyes not on the pathway, but on the goal. He lived with his eyes on the future. That's where we draw ours from the future. And joy is the strength. And I can say this for years and years of being at this church and other churches down through the years, that joy is the strength of the people of God. It's not nice to have. It's absolutely essential. Joy takes us places, and it's a powerful, powerful thing. It's the chief characteristic of the people of God. It's our joy. That's what makes us different. That's what makes us endure, and why Jesus was able to face the cross, because of the joy that he knew he would experience when he saw the Father and when he was taken to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. So when we come to the Scriptures, if I am going to be a blessing to someone, I must be filled with joy. You must be filled with joy. It's the only way that this thing works. So I'm thinking of John chapter 15 and verse 11. John 15, verse 11, this is what Jesus said. These things, this is, again, the words of Jesus, not mine. Jesus said this. The words that I have spoken to you, I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be full. Is there a difference? I think so. He said, I'm going to fill you with my joy. This is the promise. And then your joy, what joy? The joy that is going to come to you, your joy will be full, not half full, full, full of joy. We used to sing songs about that, and full of joy. Joy is the hallmark of the believer. So we all find ourselves from time to time throughout life in really what are low joy settings. There's just there's very little joy in homes, in workplaces, in churches. Have you ever been part of a church that you find yourself in a low joy setting? You can smell the lack of it. It's just is not a healthy place to be because the joy is so low. And so we say there's these settings that we find ourselves in. Sometimes you're born in them. Is that your family was a low joy family? There was very little, excitement and thrills in your life because of your home, because of your dad's alcoholism, or because your Uncle Henry's addiction, or the abuse that took place in your home, or the neglect that took place, or the negligence that took place. People find themselves in these low joy settings, and they know little about what I'm probably talking about here this morning, but it can change, and I'll tell you how it can be. So we're not to look to our emotions. This joy thing is not a thing where we, let's rev up the music more and let's all get into it together and we'll get some joy going here. Listen, if you don't have any joy before then, you don't have any joy after then. You can't make this up. We don't look to our emotions. That's not how joy works. It's not how it works at all. We don't look to our circumstances. So if it would only change, if I could only get that job, if I could only meet that girl, if I could only do this or do that, how joyful I would be. No, I don't think so. It's not due to our circumstances. Otherwise, Jesus, he endured the cross because he was so happy. No, he had something else working there on his behalf. And it has nothing to do with self-will. You can't pump this up. You can't strain it up. We've all been in it where they try to do that. And it just really spoils it all because it's not from the Spirit. This is a thing. There's something about this that's contagious. Joy is contagious. And if your boss, if he senses something about you, your employer, that you know that you're a good worker, but there's something else, they will know. They will not be able to tell you what it is, but they know, but they know, but they know when somebody has the joy of Christ in their life. They're radiant. You can't stop it. It's just there. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. See, our joy starts with Jesus and actually ends with Jesus too. But without him, you can't have joy. You can have some happiness, and we would wish you that, but you can't have joy without Jesus. When somebody invites Jesus into their heart, which Elaine did, she had some joy because of Jesus. It wasn't because she was a happy person. The Lord came into her life, and with that came the joy that she loved to sing and to praise the Lord. So the thing about joy is that it's contagious, and it's also transformational. The more that you see the joy of Christ in your life and experiencing that, your life is changed. There are people that you know and I know, they were very negative all their life. They were maybe protective, and they just didn't have a very good life. And everybody knew that they were grumpy and argumentative and antagonistic. And that was their life. That's how they grew up. And hostile and looking for a fight, bad attitude, poor relational skills. And all of that, it wrecks you until you experience the joy of Jesus. And the joy of Jesus, you don't have to try. Just yield your life. Just surrender yourself to him. And watch that if all of a sudden, no, maybe not all of a sudden, but there's this movement in your life that's contagious and is transformational, and it's just as the most wonderful thing. I'm grateful. I don't have to pretend that I've got joy. I have joy. It's a wonderful thing. Many times it's in the midst of a challenge, but it's there, and it's there for all of us, and I'll tell you how that can stay there. So many of us have grown up in low joy settings, that there was little joy. There was criticism. You shaped up, but there was joy would be the last thing you would do to describe your home. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but you know what I'm talking about, that it's that you just grew up with that kind of a negativity and the lack of joy and striving and straining to trying to find happiness when what you needed was joy. And so we're this low joy families. It's not anybody's fault that you were born in a low joy family or me. I can remember really difficult moments in our home because of my father's alcohol problems. And it took away a lot of joy, right? How many know, you say, I'm talking the truth here, that it really hurts your family when there's no joy that's just effervescent in your life and in the relationship. So I'm thinking of John chapter 17 and verse 13, but now Jesus says, again, now I'm coming to you that these things that I speak in the world, right? He's speaking to them in the world. These things I speak in the world that they may have my joy. So it's evident that Jesus wants us to possess this and to enjoy this. And so filled with Christ, filled with his joy, which brings us to Luke chapter 6, of course, verse 22 to verse 23. Blessed are you, this is really a test of it, right? Blessed are you when people hate you. Now how's your joy? Blessed are you when they exclude you. Blessed are you when they revile you. Blessed are you when they spurn you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Still got your joy? I say to you, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Leap for joy. What an assignment. Leap for joy. For behold, your reward is going to be great in heaven. See, joy takes you somewhere. He said, just leap for joy over thinking of how much Christ loves you and cares for you and is looking after you. He knows the future. He's been there and he's there now. And so we don't need to worry, so we can rejoice in Christ despite circumstances, despite that medical bill, despite the breakdown of your car, despite the breakdown of your marriage. There's things that happen that are difficult and we can feel for one another, but in the midst of all of that, to be able to say the fruit of the, I have the fruit of the Spirit in my life, and that is joy that sees me through things that no, it's just not normal in one way, not normal that you'd be able to have that ability to rejoice in the midst of very difficult moments. So what can we say about it? Well, I think this is just the truth, is that joy is really our natural state. It's not something, some novel thing that you should have, right? It's not novel, it's natural. It's how it works. So it's just a natural thing, and to which you must always return, right? You, if you have lost your joy, that inner thing that Jesus does to you when he comes in because he wants to give us his joy, if you've lost it, you must return to it, to your natural state. You can't go another day. You can't leave it. You can't possibly leave it. You must get back wherever it, you lost it, it. You must have it restored. So that really speaks to us in so many wonderful, wonderful ways. It's a natural state. It's not abnatural and unnatural. It's natural. And we return to it over. And how many times you've had to say, I was really upset over what had happened. And in that upsetness, you were not filled with his peace or his joy. You just weren't. And we understand that. So I must get back to my joy. I can go for a ways here because, you know, we're emotional. We're human people. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you don't have that, you've got nothing, really, of any, nothing that the world would want, for sure. This is a very phenomenal. The joy of the Lord is our strength to face things that we say, well, what would you do? Well, I don't know what I would do, but the Lord sustained me with this joy, unspeakable joy, full of glory. That's what the writer refers to it as. So by definition, if we need a definition, joy is the settled assurance that God's in control of all of the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. That's a settled peace. That's a settled joy. That this settled assurance that God's in control, all the things that are happening, I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but I'm not going to let it rob me of my joy. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to bless his name. So that brings us to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy. It's not manufactured. We don't try to squeeze it out of us. Got to get a little joy going here. You don't have to do that. It doesn't work anyway. You can't manipulate it. You can't cause it to happen. You have to say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to trust you that you know what's going on, and you're going to guide my life and direct my life, and that the love that you have, the joy that you have, I now put on. I clothe myself in this. I will not face another calamity in my own strength, but I will put on Christ. So when we lose our joy, because it does happen, when you lose it, it must be replaced. This is the one thing, you must replace it, because it's how you make it through life as a believer. That's how you make it through. Putting on the Lord, praising him, having a moment, say, I just feel really out of it, but I'm just going to bless his name. And many, many times I can feel the joy of the Lord coming back again. Right? When I got off of me and started focusing on him, it's made a huge, huge difference in my life and the lives of other people as well. So we love is a direct result, it's a response to joy. Because of the joy of the Lord, I can love you. I need to love her for sure. It's my wife. You're wondering, who is this girl he's talking to? You see, but that's a very powerful thing. We love as a response to joy. And it's when God does that in your heart, how beautiful it is. There's also a false joy, and there's a pseudo joy, but thank God for the real joy that is available to us every day, that you can go through life never alone. Emmanuel, the God who is with you, guiding you, directing you, wanting to pinpoint the direction for you, How beautiful is that? How wonderful is that? And so there's a joy of obedience. As a matter of fact, I think there's really only two verses that talk about obedience, about joy, directly about joy, and they have to do with obedience. We have to return to joy after something has gone wrong. The relationship maybe went wrong, the financial thing went wrong, the problem that thing got, but we return. Whenever it goes wrong, go back to your joy. And you can test this. You don't have to take my word for it. You see, joy, it's not happiness. Many people who have the joy of the Lord are not necessarily happy. They just got fired. But they have the joy. It has nothing to do with excitement. It's not nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with passion. Nothing to do with our pleasure. And it doesn't come from having many possessions, because some of the poorest people are some of the happiest people. They're some of the most joyful people that you could ever meet. They don't have very much, but they've tapped into the right thing, and that right thing has been rich and good and a really wonderful, wonderful thing. So Romans chapter 14, verse 17, this is one of my favorite verses. For the kingdom of God, okay, that is because we're dealing with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom is about. It's about this joy. It's not about eating and drinking and partying. See, that's not where it's at. It's at this point of this joy in the Holy Spirit. And we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, amen. So how does it happen? If we should write how on the bottom of every sermon, I think it's probably a good idea, that how does this come about? How do you grow your joy? That's the pressing question. Is it kind of a stagnant thing that you reach a certain point and then you get there and that's it? Or could it be that you could grow and grow and grow some more, that this next year was one of the best growth years of your life? There was just seemed to be an increase of Christ's joy. You didn't try it again. You just, the more as you yielded to the Lord and surrendered yourself to Him, you found that there is something wonderful, that you were much more of a joyful person because you're letting the joy of the Lord take more and more of your life. So an obedient, I think that I'll just throw some things out that I think are the ways it grows it. But I wouldn't, with a gun to my head, I would deny this if it's questioned. So what did I say? I think, first of all, an obedient and yielded heart. That obedience is an important thing, isn't it? Because without that, without obedience, you don't, the blessing comes because you're obedient. All kinds of joy comes to your life. And that's the starting point. And so, hey, I can do that. That's not hard to do, is it? Is it hard to do? You can yield your heart to the Lord. I can yield my heart to the Lord. I can be obedient, can I? Yes, I can. Of course I can. This is not a difficult thing. This is a simple thing, an easy thing. Just decide that you're going to be obedient. Just be obedient. Please the Lord with your ways. So that what? And out of that comes, because I've chosen obedience, joy is just lapping all over me. I don't have to try, as I said, I don't have to try to be happy or to be joyful, because it comes automatically because I've chosen obedience. And if you choose obedience, we can have this level start, the joy on people's hearts, because they know where it's at. They know it's found in Christ. And it always will. It'll always be that. There are times when people have lost their joy strictly because they were disobedient. And they went in the wrong direction. It was the wrong choice. Many wrong choices, in fact. And out of that, they're just lost. They have no joy. They're just dry. And I just say, get back to that. Get back to that. Don't let anything, don't take another minute. Decide in your heart that you'll be obedient in order that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And that's how the Lord makes it. So I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing, just from observing, is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, rather. And that people would say, I mean, there's hundreds of testimonies. I was a kind of a middle-of-the-road Christian, and I did kind of middle-of-the-road things. And then I got baptized in the Spirit, and there was this explosion went in my heart, and all of a sudden I've got this joy, whereas I was one of those kind that would never clap, ever. Just didn't. I'm not a clapper. I'm not into all that. And so that's how they were. They would describe that. And they just were happy with that. This is my, that's just how they were. And then we find out they went off to a full gospel businessman or promise keepers or someplace, and they come back and they've got this funny thing going on in them. We say, where have you been? And he said, I don't know. I was filled with the Holy Spirit in the weekend. And I'm really, really amazed. He said, it's like there's a well has sprung up within me. I didn't plan this thing. It just is. And how many times we've heard that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they moved from kind of and it just started to change. There was an anointing. There's a power that came that wasn't there before. That's my point. At least they didn't. They wouldn't have said there was. They were just an ordinary, chocolate-flavored Christian. And so they needed to. But when they went and were filled, and somebody said to them, would you like to be filled with the Spirit? And they said, okay. And people maybe laid their hands on them. And next thing you know, we know they're speaking in tongues or something. But there they are. And they can look back and say, the baptism of the Spirit changed my life almost completely. I have so much more joy in my life. And they didn't manufacture, didn't come from somebody. It just came from Jesus who baptized them. Jesus is, of course, the baptizer. So that's the second thing. I think, just say, Lord, I just surrender all of me to you. And now I ask you to fill me with the Spirit of God. Right from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. May there be no space for me that I would decrease, and Jesus, you will increase, and that the Spirit of God will be on me. Wow, that's something. That takes you somewhere, I believe. It really does. It takes you somewhere. So, number one, obedience. Number two, the baptism of the Spirit. Number three, finding some low joy place and get involved. There will be settings where they desperately need joy. There, because of the problems, because of the discouragements. And so we bring joy with us. At least it ought to be that we just show up, that people say, let me get this right. Are you on something? You seem a little too happy for me. I've had that. A little too happy clappy there. I'm not so sure there. And I say, are you smoking something? Are you drinking? What are you? You seem so cotton picking happy, and you're always, and you have to say, no, I'm not doing anything particular different than, and of course they don't believe you because you're something, and we're unconscious of it, but the joy of the Lord flows out of people. You don't even trying, you're just saying, Lord, I yield myself today, and everybody I come in contact with, may they have some sense. I mean, I've had somebody say, are you a Mormon? They're just grasping for some explanation as to why there seems to be a certain joyful attitude about your life. Hey, how wonderful. How wonderful when people wonder about you. A certain mystery that they sense. And they say, they can't figure it out. Until finally you have to say, well, if there's any difference, the difference was Jesus. Oh, I knew that. I should have guessed that was the answer. But it was. It's Jesus coming into your heart and overflowing, and people sense it. And many times I think they want that because that's what you have, people want. They want that. They don't know how to get that. But that's what they want. And I thought, wow, that's true. I think that's the absolute truth of it. So finding some low joy place and then get involved, bring the joy with you and see what will happen. And lastly, that we will check with Jesus every time we lose our joy or our peace. We'll check with him to say, Lord, I seem to be on a kind of a no-win level here. what happened? Lord, can you just pinpoint to me, is there something? And sure enough, it'll be something that you did or said that the Lord says, you need to come clean with that. And so we have an opportunity, right, to confess our sins before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I think that's what happened. And I used to be so really full of God's joy. Now I'm not. Well, you go back to where you lost it. That's always the rule. Go back to where you lost it. And then the Lord is so gracious and so kind and so loving. In just a second, he will restore joy to you. It's guaranteed. He will restore his joy because that's what he wants. My joy I give to you. But it'll be if you lose it, or there's a season where you've lost it, kneel down before him and say, Lord, could you show me? Show me what's happening here that I can deal with it the way you'd want me to. So this life of joy, now we have to be careful that we don't turn people off, right? We can turn people off. It's a little too much. And, you know, I used to work with, praise God, brother, how are you? You know, and he scared me. And I'm the Christian. It's just a little too, yeah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And it's a bit much. And next thing you find yourself fleeing for your life. So I think maybe awareness, but I can sit. Sometimes I have been in settings where I have had to pretty well sit on my hands because I had such a strong, overwhelming desire to lift my hands and bless his name. And I didn't manufacture that. I just thought, no, you don't need to. This is not the right setting. Don't lift your hands here. In this moment, maybe there'll be a better moment. Why? Because there will be times when I think this joy will be overwhelming. You'll be overwhelmed with his love, and you'll be sitting here in church, and something about Jesus will reflect on your heart, and you'll find a tear going down, and you say, Lord, I'm so happy because of you. I feel so joyful. I feel so full. Thank you. And there you are just having this moment, right? This joy moment, this high-level joy moment as compared to the low joy. And it just those things, moments, they don't happen all the time. Sometimes they might even happen, though, in a bereavement or in a difficult time that you found his joy. So here I am. I'm praising him. I don't feel like praying, but part of me seems to want to praise him. That's the Jesus part. My joy I give to you. And we put it on. And we clothe ourselves in it as well. So this life of joy is open to everyone. And I believe that everyone who would like to be like Jesus. If you'd like to be like Jesus, which I desire and you desire, I'm sure you do. To be like Jesus, then this life is open. This thing of joy. It's not restricted to a few. It's not just some group of Pentecostals that gather at Valley Church. It's not that. So here are some things that we must avoid. We must not try to be joyful. This is not that. You can't exercise it or force it. Don't try. And don't try to be strong. If I can just get some strength here, then I'll be, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. No, just come in your weakness, absolute weakness. And so we must allow the Spirit of God to touch us and overwhelm us and fill us with his joy, and watch what will happen. I'm reading just from, as I close, from Zephaniah chapter 3. The Lord your God is in your midst. Yes. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you. Imagine that, a God that will rejoice over us. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord is filled with joy over you, over me. He's so delighted. He dances. He exalts over you, over me. That's the God that we serve. And I thought, you know, I could do it without a lot of things. I think I can do a lot without a lot of things, but I cannot do without the joy of Christ. I feel sorry for people who have religion, but not Christ. They go through the motions. You know, they carry on with what their background is, but they're not born of the Spirit, And they don't have that joy. They don't have that sense of presence. They're just religious, and they do the religious things because that's what they always did. That's what grandma did and grandpa did. They all did that. But my heart aches that a person would have religion, but not Jesus, filling us with this crazy kind of joy that, and it's not just because, you see, by nature, I have a bubbly, maybe that's not a little too strong a word, but a bubbly personality. My mother used to say, you know, I get the feeling that if you fell off a high-story building, halfway down, you'd still be thinking, so good so far. So I'm not saying this, that there is, it's not because of my personality. If I was a melancholy, for example, this would still be absolutely true, right? The joy, though, is not because we got the bubbly people sitting over here and they're laughing and they're just always so happy. No, I think there's, you know, we can be happy, but the point of it, as I'm saying, is it's got nothing to do with your personality. The Lord loves you and wants to overwhelm you with his love. For how long? Till you feel his arms around you. Until you are touched by him and as a way of life, that you enjoy him more than anything else. And, you know, isn't it great when you can wake up and say, I love you. Thank you for already I sent you. So stand with me if you would. Why don't we do something together? Just in our hearts. The first thing I was pointing out to was just this obedience. This letting the Lord have his way. I don't think much joy will come your way as long as I'm determined to be disobedient. But when I say, Jesus, I love you and I want to please you. Whatever that takes, I want the full meal deal. I am here to please you. Now, I got to fight with my will, but once that's over, you know, that's broken, and then to ask the Lord to fill us with his Spirit. So this is just a step. We don't have to take it all the way, but from this point on, you need to say, thank you, Lord, that you want me to have your joy. Take that as, that's your natural state. Joy is your natural state. It's your home. It's your home. It's where you do best. It's where God wants you to live. That you would have this joy working, and you would just be so full of him. So, Lord, here we are. Thank you. Thank you. How blessed are we? We give ourselves to you. We sense you in this chapel here today. We sense you. And you're drawing near to us. Thank you. Thank you that you like to be with us. Emmanuel, you love to be with us. You seem to love to joy over us. So thank you, Lord, for making this so exciting and rich. And I pray, God, today for anyone who has been in a low joy setting for some time. I just pray a healing. I pray for restoration, and I pray that there'll be a recovering process going on where their joy will be restored, or if they've never had it for the first time. And so, Lord, here we are. Baptize us in your Spirit. Fill us to be overwhelmed, and we'll give you all the praise and all the thanks. It's great, Lord, to belong to you. We love you. And we shout for joy. We leap. I pray, God, there will be in our own private little room, there will be some leaping. That as you dance before the Lord, knowing that all these things are good, that God's got everything under control. So rejoice. Lift up your heart. Lift up your hands and begin to bless Him. And watch what He will do. So, Lord, here we are. We surrender all to You. And we love You. Bless each dear person who's come today. And Lord, just satisfy their hearts, we ask. We give You thanks and praise. And Lord, again, we say it often, but You are undoubtedly just the best thing that ever has happened to us. Oh, I pray that our joy will overflow this week for everybody in their job. May there just be an effervescence. May there be an overflow. May not trying to be religious, but Lord, just that this love of God joyfully expressed to a fellow worker or a relative, Lord, it matters not. But we do pray that there would be such a deposit in their life that they'd really never be the same again. And we love You. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let's thank Him. Thank You, Lord. We're so glad You've come today. Now, here's the deal. If you are here because of the baby dedication, we'd like you to go first. So, be careful you don't get run over, Valley Church people. So you go first, and the rest of us will follow behind. But please join us on the patio. It's warm, and it's a beautiful day. So thanks for being here again.